Good morning. My name is Reverend Randall Massengill. I'm the pastor at Lafayette First United Methodist Church. We are located at 301 South Main Street in Lafayette, Georgia. Our worship services are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to worship with you. Charlie, Hannah, you are an inspiration.
Amen.
Your presence here today. I mean, talking about inspiration, movement of the Holy Spirit. We have just seen the Lord. We have just seen the Lord. Luke 5, 1 through 11. Hear these words of the Lord. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing on him to hear the word of the Lord, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon Peter, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, Jesus said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all night long, but have caught nothing yet. If you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. These are the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. May we pray. What are you calling us to do, O Lord? Who are you calling us to be? And how do we bring those two things together to bring you, not ourselves, but to bring you honor and glory? That is our prayer and our question. May we go away this day having a response in which we will live out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What do you want to be when you grow up? How many times have we asked that question? One time? That's good. That's good if you can ask it one time. And if you can find out after asking it one, that's even better. That's even better. When I was 14 years old, I felt the call of my life to preach. I felt like God was calling me to preach, but I really didn't do anything about it. I really didn't go forward in finding out what do I need to do in order to do that. So I just sort of left it alone. I wouldn't advise that, regardless what age you might be. If God is calling you to do something, I would encourage you to investigate and to find out how you go about doing that. Because when God calls you to do something and you don't pursue it, you will do a lot of things until you find it. Such as myself, I had to go through 14 jobs before ending up where I needed to be. I worked for Hardee's, flipping burgers. I worked for the Colonel, not Colonel Brooks, Colonel Sanders. Of course, going to be a preacher, that was a good thing. Chicken is my high calling. They asked me, "How do you know you're going to be a preacher?" I said, "I love chicken." I worked in a hosiery factory. I worked at Dixie Savings Incorporated on East 12th Street, loading boxcars, transfer trucks. Believe it or not, I used to weigh 175 pounds. You see what the ministry does to you? I worked like a horse and ate like a horse. I worked for restaurants. I was a DJ. I was a photographer. I had my own studio as well as a photographer for a newspaper. And I stayed with each one not too long. And I had my mom and dad very concerned. My dad thought I was going to end up being a professional bum. That was my dad. But then I married Mary. And when I was married to Mary, I worked for Sambo's, and after I quit that job, I worked for Eckerd's in Red Bank, Tennessee. And they transferred me from Eckerd's in Red Bank to Eckerd's in Dayton, my hometown. Not being happy at any job, I said to Mary one day, "You know, I've always wondered if I was called to preach." And she said, "Well, why don't you find out?" So I went to my home church. They nominated me as a candidate for ministry. And that was 37 years ago. I was 21 when I started college. I wasn't a good student. I quit college a few times because I didn't do well on tests. So I just quit. And then I had a professor say to me, "If you'd stop quitting, you'd finish." Professors are very wise. I wonder if some of you are in that position today. What is God calling you to do? And are you doing it? Or have you always put it off before you have decided to do it? One of the things, brothers and sisters, that God will call us to do sometimes will be in places that we're not meant to be, but we're there for some reason, such as the disciples when they were fishing. They were there because they were to do what their father did. Nothing wrong with that. Fishing is a good job. But that's not where God wanted them. And you see, that's one of the struggles. You and I might be in a job that we love, but God might call us to go and to do something else. I know a guy who's passed away now who worked for Grandma's Cookies. He invented one of Grandma's Cookies. Do you know Grandma's Cookies? Have you ever had a Grandma's Cookies? He created one of those and was beginning to get a lot of money for it. And then God called him to preach. You know how hard it was to quit that job? Very hard, you're exactly right. But he wasn't happy knowing he wasn't where God would have him to be. Have you ever been there? What's so interesting is that God calls you and me to be in a holy place. And what that means is our place as a Christian is not to be looked at as secular. You and I are holy people, which means to be placed in a place for a particular reason, because that's where God has placed us. If you are a police officer, if you work for the fire department, regardless where you are in political office, a school teacher, or wherever you may work, you are in a holy place because there is a holy presence in your life. You are that temple that houses the Holy Spirit, and you are in a holy place. For you have been put there by a holy God. When Timothy was going to Boynton Elementary, I walked into one of their autistic classes there, and Miss Anastasia Hanna, who runs the program there, was there with a bunch of her workers, and I walked in and said hello, and I noticed that some of her teachers had scratch marks on her hands, and some had a scratch mark on their face. And I asked them how that happened. And they told me. And I said to them, "Why do you put yourself in this situation, knowing that this is what could happen to you? Why do you do this to yourself?" and they said to me, "We didn't put ourselves here. God put us here." God is the one who makes us, and not we ourselves. If that's not in the Bible, it should be. I usually say that because it is. Just so that you know why I say it. Psalms 100, verse 3. It says, God makes us, and not we ourselves. If you and I want a life where we are feeling fulfilled, then we need to be in that place where God would have us to be, doing what God would have us to do. But if you want to be miserable and not feel fulfilled, and who among us would want to do that, then just pretend that God has not called you and pretend that that calling will go away. But I'm here to say to you, brothers and sisters, it won't go away. And the reason it won't go away is because you and I know when He calls. We know where we need to be, and sometimes that can be a frightening place. Because, brothers and sisters, if you will look at the story, when the disciples caught their fish, they didn't get to benefit from it. Somebody else got the fish. Oh, don't you hate it when that happens? Huh? Don't you hate it when God calls you to do something and you go do it and somebody else benefits from it and you don't? Don't you hate that? You do all the work and somebody else benefits from it. You know something? I think I know somebody else who did that. Someone else who did all the work and everybody else benefited from it. He's the one we follow. And if we follow Him, what He experienced, we will experience. For it's in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.